It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday, 5:01. Here on Fan Run Radio, time for your Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you this afternoon by FanDuel. Here's Alex Olive.
Number 1, Kyle Flood, an Alabama assistant and former Rutgers coach, is joining Steve Sarkisian as his offensive coordinator at the University of Texas.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Kyle Flood.
Kyle Flood.
Yes.
Is the coordinator or the offensive line coach?
Offensive coordinator and offensive line coach.
Oh, wow. It's flooding down in Texas. Oh, come on, Baron. That was good. Stevie Ray Vaughan reference. Anybody? No? Hello? Is this thing on? Hey, look, he's rating.
It's on, but that was pretty bad.
He's
man.
Rating Nick Saban's staff on his way out the door. You're losing all these players, Nick Saban.
I'll tell you who's getting raided. It's Botch.
Yeah.
it continues. Do you not see that?
No. Who do you lose now?
I mean, the Pac-12's moving in on him now. I can't remember
the name.
They
took a strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah. Wilcox did.
Poor Botch.
You hate to see it.
You do.
There's also a couple other Alabama guys that are going with him. It's A.J. Milwee and Jeff Banks. Philly was right about
that. A.J. Milwee had gone – he was an analyst last year.
Yep.
He was actually replacing Major Applewhite after he bailed on Botch, and then that Milwee guy had taken the O.C. position under Botch.
But the thing to watch is Golding. Right. If he takes the defensive coordinator job at Texas, obviously that's a huge opening there. Would Jeremy
Pruitt? I know
Pruitt
somebody who'd want to have their old job back, Russ.
Would he just slide right back on in without missing a beat?
As long as he doesn't have a show cost.
Ooh, interesting.
All right, number 2. The MLB hires former 3-time World Series winning executive Theo Epstein. They're trying to bring him in as a consultant as the sport contemplates rule changes to create more action and pace to the game. Something the MLB desperately needs.
You think so? Like, I've mixed feelings on this. First of all, like, I'm just a baseball purist. To me, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing baseball is going to be able to do to get me to start watching again. There's just too many other things, man. Like, what are they going to do? Let guys play with jetpacks, and they're like, I don't know. I don't think there's anything they could do. Yeah, you want to speed up the game a little bit. It gets annoying when you have 20 pitching changes and the guy takes 30 seconds between pitches and all that stuff. But I don't know that all those little subtle changes that they're making are going to make it any more pleasing for TV or anything like that. There's just too many other entertainment choices right now.
I want to see him play in some weather. I want a snow game, a rain game.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they basically suspend the game immediately if there's rain, right? If there's heavy rain,
well,
at least.
At a certain point, yeah. They'll shut it down.
Safety issue, but.
You want to see, like, what was that movie, The Fan with Robert De Niro, where they're just playing in a just straight up downpour?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Like a snow game in
the
NFL.
That's a pretty creepy movie.
Very creepy. Wesley Snipes.
Number 3, Alabama forward Jordan Bruner is out indefinitely with a right knee injury after having a procedure for a meniscus injury on Wednesday. He suffered the injury in Tuesday night's dominating win over Kentucky.
Hate to hear that. I'm torn up.
I mean, I wish him well, but big blow for an Alabama team that is looking like the class of the league so far.
Supposedly, he could return later in the season. They plan for him to, but
okay.
I'm definitely not complaining.
No.
Number 4, the NHL has a whole slate, I think 10 games tonight, returning for the 2021 season after last season was cut short. The Predators play tonight at 8 p.m., take on the Blue Jackets. Any interest in hockey?
No, not really. I mean, to me, it's like baseball. Nothing against the sport. It's a great sport. I love going to a NHL hockey match. But it's just there's too many things, man. There's just too much going on, man. And Right now, it's for me. I'll watch a little college basketball, and follow what's going on with football and all the off the field stuff. But that's pretty much the extent. NFL playoffs, obviously, but that's pretty much the extent of my sports watching right now. Can't do it. Trey, you'll watch anything. Are you watching NHL hockey tonight?
Man, I love hockey. I mean, I was living in Nashville, got to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, got to go to the Western Conference Finals. Man, there's nothing like playoff hockey. Now, first game of the season, yeah, I don't really care.
All right, there you have it.
All right, and closing us out with number five, I'm going to butcher this name, Josiah Raisuke, a player for a French D2 rugby team, was issued a red card for lifting up a ref in celebration of a win.
Of a win?
Yes.
So the game was over?
Yes.
How can you get a red card for a game that's over? It's like carries over to the next game?
I suppose so. He, I think it was, yep, the ref made the call and blew the whistle to end the game. He picked him up.
What is an appropriate penalty? I'm trying to look at it from like a football perspective. Say in the Titans game over this weekend, one of the Ravens lifts up the head official after the game for celebration.
They'd probably get fined.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably just let it go, right?
Probably.
Slap on the wrist. Hey, don't do that. Don't put your hands on the official.
I mean, there've been stuff before where NFL players have kind of clowned and cut up the
refs. I mean, did he like wave him around like a prop, like a little flag or something? Or
he kind of picks him up like Simba in The Lion King. Just pulls him up. I mean, because those rugby guys are big. He just lifts this poor little ref up.
Oh, man. You ever play rugby, Bear?
No.
You seem like a rugby guy.
I could totally
see you like in your younger days, like in your 20s. Wearing the rugby shorts, like a cut-off shirt, no sleeves, rugby guy.
I was just never big into rugby. I don't know why.
I'll be honest, I don't understand the rules.
I really never did either.
Flip it on TV, I'm like, I don't even know how you score in this game. Like, what are they stopping? Does the clock stop? Is this a play?
I'll tell you, that brings Who's to got mind the another ball? Group of people who are just the rugby. Rugby players are tougher than NFL players. Crowd, those people—they're like they eat lead paint. Last time I checked, rugby players aren't launching themselves like cruise missiles at like 28 miles an hour at each other's heads.
Yeah, they're both pretty tough.
Rugby is fun to watch. Rugby's fun to watch. My best friend played in college at Alabama, and they had like a club team. And I mean, he stopped playing once he snapped his leg in half. But I mean, it's fun to watch.
Can you explain the rules? Like, not now, but do you even know rugby works?
I don't think you do. I mean,
how do you score? How do you score?
Well, the pass has to be backwards. It cannot be forwards going down the field.
Yeah, I know that. How do you score?
Once you pass the goal line, you have to lay the ball down in the end zone.
How many points is that?
3 points.
Alex says five.
I'm looking
five
it up.
Point, yeah, it's, yeah.
You don't know the rule. You're just making this up, Trey. Nobody.
I've
what are you doing?
Lots of rugby.
Hey, you are lots not going to present yourself as rugby guy, okay? I'll let you get away with the "I love NHL playoff hockey" take, but I'm not going to stand here.
I've watched a lot of rugby.
I'm not going to sit here and let you try and pass yourself off as Captain Rugby. Come on,
man. If there's a rugby correspondent on this show, it will be me.
I've watched a lot of rugby.
Seven Nations tournament.
Is that the top five of five?
That should be the top five of five. That's it.
Whatever.
All right. Very good. We appreciate Alex. What kind of grade are you giving Alex for that one, Bear?
I give it a B. Solid effort. I'm going to work with him some.
Solid B.
Pointers.
Okay.
Yeah, solid B. Good.
There you have it.
Great start.
Top 5 at 5 brought to you by FanDuel. Folks, the playoffs, my favorite time of year. Can't wait to bet all the action this weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never tried FanDuel before, Playoffs is the perfect time to give it a shot because right now, new users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any game to win during the playoffs this week. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team, any playoff game this weekend. So don't miss out on this exclusive offer. I've been playing on FanDuel all season long. You can too. Pull up the old FanDuel Sportsbook app right now and take a look at some of these betting odds. I have not looked yet this week. I like to save it, you know, wait till the very end. Let's see, college football here, table tennis, all the stuff. Where's pro football?
What's the line on the Saints game?
Your New Orleans Saints are 3-point favorites at home against Brady and the Bucks.
Boom, baby. We got this.
Chiefs, minus 10 at home against the Browns.
That's a safe one.
Bills, minus 2.5 at home against the Ravens.
On the 3-yard Raven.
I wonder what the weather's supposed to be like up there. You know, Lamar has never played in snow.
I'm sure a South Florida boy will enjoy that. And the Packers are a 6.5-point favorite at home against the Los Angeles Rams. Folks, you can bet all of these games and more, as I say, on FanDuel Sportsbook. Don't miss on that 25-1 odds boost for any game this weekend. Go check it out. The app is simple. It's easy to use. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code DRIVE1. So they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code DRIVE1. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus, $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Get set to go back to the phones. Don't forget Tony Vitello coming up here in about 12 minutes. Who's up first, Alex?
We got D.R. Vol.
D.R. Vol. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys, pull one out for Vulcan, Paul.
You think it's going to be a temporary suspension or permanent?
I don't know, man. It looks pretty serious. I don't know. I hope it's not permanent.
I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Was that Brad? I wonder who turned him in, Brad Logan or surely got him.
Probably Wes Rucker.
Wes Rucker.
Why would
Rucker turn him in?
It's sad. I pour one out for Chris Vulcan, although I got to say he had it coming.
Yeah, his pinned tweet was Russ getting duped, so maybe that's good for you.
He had it coming. Right? Absolutely.
Am I being Russ then?
This is a fantastic. No. Why would you say something like that, T.R. Vol? I'm not a snitch after all. No.
Guys, I heard a lawyer on another show talking about this whole thing with Pruitt, and you know, Russ. I think we talked about yesterday conspiracy theories. I wanted to hear what y'all had to say about this. He said that he doesn't know that they necessarily have a coach lined up because if we tried to get out of paying Pruitt's buyout and they got wind of that, there's no way we'd win.
All right, say that again.
If we had another coach, like even if we're conducting, like putting feelers out to try to do kind of like a coaching search, mm-hmm. and Pruitt's people found out about that, that would kill our case for not paying the buyout.
Why? I mean, if we think that we're going to have to fire him because of violations committed under his watch that he should have been known about, like, it's our due diligence to start kicking the tires on other coaches behind the scenes. I don't see how that would. But then again, I'm not a lawyer, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought, but it's exactly what I said. I'm not a lawyer, which it does give me hope. You know, you said it yesterday, Russ, our God-given rights to coach and search. Maybe that keeps the hope alive.
It's our birthright, D.R. Vol. Don't let them take this away from us. We are owed this.
Exactly. It's all we got. I sit in that stadium and watch us get beat by BYU. At least I can get us a freaking coach and search. And Titansville, as far as this not being University of Haslam, it could be University of Pilot if they bring me Hugh Freeze or the Lane Train.
Ooh.
So, guys, that's all I got. Now, I will say, Trey, I used to work weekends with a guy that when we watch rugby, he's from Poland. And that is a heck of a sport to watch. Y'all have a good day.
It's fun. Thank you.
Well, I just got to say, like, Trey, if your major selling point is, I went to school with a guy who played, or D.R. Vall's like, yeah, I knew a guy from Poland. He liked it. Like, that's not – okay, that's not doing anything for me. Just because you know somebody who likes rugby – to
Wait. You need to get off your high horse and stop trashing. This is my best friend. I went out
there.
How
many best
friends you got? I went out there and watched him every Saturday play at Alabama.
Great.
And I learned a lot.
What does any of that have to do with whether or not I would enjoy the game?
Because there's a lot of hard hitting action. And
I have a friend who's very into BMX dirt biking. Like, he goes out and rides dirt bikes all weekend. Do you want to watch?
I would watch dirt bikes. I've been to a couple of those.
Trey, you would watch paint dry on the side of the wall if there was some competitive aspect to it.
That's why nobody will ever duplicate Trey Wallace.
Wes in Franklin is next. Westicles.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I didn't plan on calling in today, but I after that hearing Titans Bill to close the last hour, I just could not refrain. Listen, William, before I would go dispensing advice to the sheriff on his interactions with the House of Haslam, I'd get my own House of Derangement in order. Jeff Fisher? Let me ask you something, Titans Bill. What have you been doing today? You've been boozing it up? Huh?
Hold on now.
Back on
hey.
I talked him out of it. We all have bad takes from time to time. See Jamie Utah on Twitter 3 years ago. Titans Bill had a bad one today. Wes, I talked him out of it quickly. He admitted his fault, and we moved on. Okay? Let's not call too much attention to it.
That's more than a bad take if you think Mr. 50% porn stash himself is going to be our savior after all we've been through. Let me tell you something, Titans Bill. The closest Jeff Fisher's ever going to come to success at the University of Tennessee is dancing next to Willie Galton in the Super Bowl shuffle back in 85, you moron.
Oh!
Get him out of here. He's not going to call Titans Bill a moron on my watch.
Oh, you got what? Flush him for that. I mean, good grief. All right, first of all, Bear does not have flushing powers, okay? Somebody flushes it. I will give you the signal, Alex. Let's not let this power go to his head, first of all. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate the phone call.
Alex, completely disregard everything Rush just said.
Who is who's next?
We got Brad in La Follette.
Brad, you're in La Follette. You're on the drive. What's going on?
How's it going, gentlemen?
Hey, it's going well. Thank you.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
Out of control.
Trey, let me get this straight. In rugby, you can't throw a forward pass. It's got to be behind you.
Yes, that is correct. It's got to be like a lateral type deal.
Jarrett Garantano would rule in this sport.
That's what I was about to say. Do you think Garantano thought he was playing rugby?
I'm sorry, I stole your line, Brad.
It's all good.
It's okay.
I was going to. I heard the same thing today about the lawyers and how UT can't use backdoor channeling to talk to any prospective candidates, or else they would owe Pruitt like three times his buyout money. If there's a chance you would have to pay $40 million. Another coach. I can't see that.
I'm sorry. I just zoned out. What now? He has a clause that if we go behind it, there's no way that's true.
That's I'm kind of backing up. I think it was Boston. I'm kind of backing up what he said. I mean, I heard that too. I mean, they owe him three times the amount of his buyout. That's kind of why they're not going around shopping.
If we talk to other candidates while he's still the coach,
if you're trying to, I don't know if it's tampering or undermining your position that you're investigating. I don't know.
The buyout is there. The buyout is the buyout. There's no situation where you get three times the buyout. That's insane.
No, not at all.
I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions on wherever this is coming from, but I would be absolutely stunned if there were any kernel.
That's
truth
like
to
some.
That.
That's like somebody saying that they can't fire or they have to give the buyout to Pruitt because they kept a message of fire Pruitt on the rock. Like what the? Yeah.
I've never heard of. I'm sorry, Trey. I've never heard of that before, but that would be so Tennessee if something like that did happen here.
Oh man,
we just set a new precedent.
Yeah, let's be in court with Jeremy Pruitt for the next 12 years. That sounds like fun.
I'm just now tuning in to the show. He's been interviewed today. Is there any kind of timeline?
There's no timeline. I mean, it could be tomorrow. It could be 2 weeks from now. Who knows?
All right. I guess everybody's going to have to keep their ear to the ground this weekend, I guess, right?
Head on a swivel, Brad. Head on a swivel.
Well, I'm going to back up what the previous caller said. If the Haslams get Hugh Freeze in here, I'm buying all my gas from Pilot from now on. See you guys.
If they bring me Hugh Freeze with Rodney Garner and Kevin Steele on the other side of the ball, they can take the power tee off the helmet and put a Pilot logo on there for all I care.
I mean, I wouldn't go quite that far, but
I would.
Pretty close.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up, Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello joins the show. We'll get his take on what's been going on the offseason with Tennessee baseball. We'll also play a little jam or not a jam with him. Coming up here in just a second. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Logo Solutions is a once.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Trey back with you. Pleased to be joined now by the head coach of your Tennessee baseball Vols, Tony Vitello, joining us on the show. Coach, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Afternoon. I'm pleased, too. It's good to be with you guys, and it's a good sign that the season's right around the corner.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And just sort of along those lines, what are you hearing about? I just remember the conversations we had last summer and how disappointed you were that the season got wiped out the way it did. What do we know about the 2021 season?
Yeah, at this point, there's been a ton of Zoom calls where conversations have taken place, and the SEC's had the athletic directors on calls as well. So taking all that information and combining it, as of right now, we're starting on time. February 19th is the start date that we originally had planned anyway for college baseball, our opening day. And then we're going to keep our conference schedule the same, which is a whole nother topic. But we actually just got our conference schedule, and I think they want to wait to release that to the media after the weekend so it's a clean start for everybody. But we now know what our schedule is for now. But it's going to be pretty fluid, and it's going to be chaos trying to get all 56 games in, which is what we want to do.
So February 19th, is that just around the corner? Are you guys practicing right now?
So a long story short, we found a loophole. We can actually start tomorrow, even though we don't start class till Wednesday. That's normally when you start practice. But because it's been pushed back because of COVID, tomorrow is day one of coach-led practice. I'll blow your mind and anyone listening. It's actually not in-season practice, so it's shorter hours. We don't start in-season practice till January 29th, and then we start February 19th. So it kind of goes to show you how, I guess, insane these rules are. And it also shows you, or we revisit the pinch we got in with Garrett Crochet, was we had to get him out there on the mound to get ready for the season, even though the weather wasn't ideal. And then all of a sudden he's a little sore, and you don't have any real wiggle room because our quote-unquote spring training is such a short period.
Wow. So what have your players, how have they been managing all of this the past couple of months, just preparing with all the uncertainty that surrounds the sport?
Sure. Well every time the kids go home as a college coach, you're paranoid when they go home after finals because you know the season is around the corner, and that work they do over Christmas and the rest of the holiday period is so crucial. And I've been doing it long enough, and the other coaches have too. You kind of learn to see the way they act, the way they look, whether or not they did their work. And our guys look good. They really do. And so we even took out a conditioning challenge that we typically do because they've already proven that, you know, they're in good shape, and we want to get down to the baseball stuff. They want to as well. That period there is crazy when you're not around them and you're staring at opening day, you know, 5-6 weeks away, whatever it might be. So it's pretty wild this time of year for us, but it sure is fun once we get started.
What is an SEC baseball conditioning challenge like? What's in that?
It's a 300-yard shuttle. So for anyone who would like to try that at home, you know,
I'm good.
Yeah, so it's three of those with a couple minutes in between, and the pitchers run together and the position guys run together, and we just did it over there today. Everybody that was able to run, they said they made their time. They did it on their own. So, we're not a track team. We just want to – it's kind of a check. It's an accountability check. Yeah. And then once that's over, we try and make it baseball-specific running for the position guys and just sprints for the pitchers.
Coach, one more baseball question for me, and then we'll let Trey hit a few, and we'll play some jam or not a jam before we let you out of here too. We had somebody asking about the baseball stadium. We always like to get your thoughts on that. I know we had such high hopes for a potential renovation of Lindsey Nelson Stadium's long overdue. With COVID-19 and the financial impact that has had, do you think, and not just here at Tennessee, but all over for the quote-unquote non-revenue sports, do you think that they're just going to have to put some of those building projects on hold for a while?
I think so. There is a master plan that Coach Fulmer's led the way in kind of putting a big-time focus or a dream vision of what all of our athletic facilities would look like. And ours has been kind of earmarked because, it really has been pushed aside for longer than almost any of the other facilities on campus. Money's a topic, but I'll tell you what else is a topic is just proving what you can do. And I think where we really lost out was not financial dollars from the football season or anything like that. It was the ability last year to show people, look at what we can do, look at what it's like to maybe host a post. I know this is saying a lot, but host a postseason game here in Knoxville, be on that March Madness type run to Omaha that people can watch. We lost that. So we'll have to regain that this year and pick up where we left off. Now, having said that, we do have a project in the works for our left field line. Anyone who's been at our stadium knows it's kind of a blank slate over there right now. And we've got some people that have stepped forward and said that they're interested in helping us. So we're going to roll out those plans once our season starts to everybody. But there's already a couple people that have stepped forward and said they want to help us and get the thing rolling. So I think with a strong season, it's realistic that we could be working on this stadium this time next year.
Well, that's great news, Coach. It's Trey, and I really appreciate you joining us. And off the top, I just want to go back and hit on something. So you said that, you know, we're all clear for the 52 games that we'll be getting this year?
Yeah, it's 56 is what we can normally play. Right now we have 55 scheduled because, I mean, you name it. Every morning you walk into the office, somebody says they're either out or they're in or you replace somebody. I'd like to schedule more games than we can are even allowed to because you know you're going to lose some, just like basketball, curiously, lost the game the other night. So that's kind of where we're at. We've got permission to go with 56. We did not get the help from the SEC that our coaching staff was hoping, where we could increase SEC games, because those are the ones you really feel good about playing because of the money and the testing ability and the tie to the conference. But we are only staying at 30 conference games.
So looking at the pitching rotation right now and how that's going to play in, how do you think the offseason has been? I know you have to last season, in a good way, I guess, you saved some arms. In a bad way, you know, folks kind of move on. Where are we at right now when it comes to the pitching part of this?
Yeah, I think, you know, Jackson Leaf was a kid that turned down a lot of money to come back, well over $500,000. That would be a minimum starting point. Jackson Leaf is only in his second year. He really felt cheated that he didn't get to compete in SEC play. He was a JUCO kid that pitched for us last year. Great kid, very loyal to the program. Turned down that money, and he kind of looked like a front runner to be a Friday or Saturday guy. But he's been working through some things. He had tonsillitis and some other things. So he's not going to be ready for opening day. There's a freshman, Blake Tidwell, that's dynamite, but he's a freshman. I don't know that he would be your guy opening day. And then you've got a group of, because of the draft, because we've accumulated some of these guys that we recruited and Frank's trained, we've got literally a group of 7 or 8 guys that are very similar. And it's going to be interesting to see how they use these scrimmages coming up. It'll be about 3 or 4 weekends worth of scrimmages, how they use those to separate themselves and maybe become those 4 starters, maybe a long relief guy, maybe a setup guy in the pen. And then there might be 2 guys that are kind of left out of the mix for now, and they got to scratch and claw their way back in.
Hey, Coach, what are you looking for on offense this year? You know, in the times that we've spoken in the past, we're talking about the baseballs popping off them bats, and you were even kind of surprised at the offense that the team was putting out. What do you look at this year? What are you excited about when it comes to this lineup?
What they did in the fall was incredibly impressive. And I think, you know, like you said, last year was kind of a moment where it's like, wait a minute, we can also hit pretty well. It's just not Garrett Crochet and a bunch of good pitchers. Well, most of those hitters are back. Alaric's not back. And Zach Daniels really made some strides and was a total different player last year. But otherwise, pretty much everybody's back. And you see some guys that have developed, and increased their ability to do some damage. And there's also a couple new faces, like Jarrell Ortega was one of our better hitters, if not the best hitter in the fall. He was an injured freshman last year. And, he'll add to the mix. So, you know, you kind of want to see him pick up where we left off in the spring, or really just kind of replicate what they did in the fall. But there's some firepower there, and I don't really like saying that, but it's there. So it's kind of up to us as a group to make sure we make the most of what we have, because there's some damage that can be done with the bats this year.
And 2 more quick questions for me. When it comes to travel rosters this year and going on the road, is there going to be an increase in that? And also, how have things played out from a financial aid standpoint for players that were wanting to return for this season? How's that process been as well?
Yeah, that process has been okay, because some of the seniors, that came back, they're able to keep their scholarship, but it does not count against us. So we're actually over our 11.7, but we're over with guys that are quote unquote exempt. So that really boosts things to allow the freshmen that were supposed to come in, all got to come in. I know that's not the case in a lot of programs in our league, but all the incoming guys were still able to come with open arms. And then all the guys who wanted to come back were able to do so, and we made it work financially. And they're talking about down the road making some further exceptions. But those votes are all up in the air right now, along with, NIL and transfer and all that stuff. But, to get back to your other thing with the roster, I said this the other day with Chris Burke, Coach Shaver, JP, those rosters were smaller. College baseball is different now. Rosters are bigger, and I think there's more money available too. So I don't see a reason for the SEC to limit too much on how many guys we bring on the road. Now, I do think it should be something you've got to earn. So I like the idea that you do leave a couple guys behind that didn't quite make the cut. But I think we should be able to bring as many guys as possible. This year with the COVID exemption, we'll be able to bring 30 instead of 27. So here's one thing for true fans, Trey, and kind of an interesting math problem to think about too. So we get the added benefit of bringing 3 guys to an SEC game. So they'll get that SEC experience. What's scary is they may gain with the travel roster. They may lose on playing time if we're not playing 56 games. If there's midweek games turn into madness and teams are dropping out and say we can't play or can't afford it or we got COVID, those are the very 3 guys that are losing out on innings. So it's kind of an interesting situation, and I think our coaching staff have taken upon ourselves. We are going to do whatever we have to do to play 56 games, even if we got to write a check out of our own personal account to get somebody to come over here.
Wow. That's fantastic. And Ed, one more little thing on this. When it comes to how this offseason has been for you in recruiting. You know, I know we've had conversations late at night where you're popping off a Zoom and hopping back on of another one. How's this all been for your staff and you? And finally, we're getting to that point where baseball's here. But I'm sure it's just been a heck of an 8 months when it comes to trying to get kids to commit and trying to even get them on campus for maybe unofficials and stuff like that.
Yeah, and really, you know, we've opened up our doors to come on campus and look around, but they've got to do it on their own. And, you know, we've got flaws and some positive things. Our real niche has been our camps, how we interact with kids, and when they truly get to meet Coach Q and all the people that help our players, that kind of personal touch, and then actually recruiting with our own eyes and being at the park and being there earlier and later than other programs, and that stands out to some families. All those things are in person. They've been our strength. And we're just not really a big, you know, just rely on rankings or all the things that we've had to adapt to. So it's been pretty cool seeing Coach Elander evolve at a young age and adapting so well to the environment. I can't say that I've kept pace with him, but, you know, I'm used to the phone calls and I got used to the Zoom. So it's become a lot of stuff you just do in the office, as opposed to stuff you do walking around campus or at a ballpark watching, those are the two things I honestly truly love. So it stinks to miss them, and it also kind of sucks because I don't think we get to emphasize what our real strength is. But we've had success. It's gone well, and I think our next best advertisement is our guy's style of play. I think this group of kids really likes to play, so maybe when February 19th rolls around, some more interest will spark up.
All right, Coach.
Well, let me interrupt you real
quick.
Go
ahead.
One thing I wanted to ask, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Where does you fired off the Wedding Crashers gif? Where does Wedding Crashers, is it like a top 10 comedy of all time, or does that fit in with legendary movies like Caddyshack? Or where does that fit in your mind?
I mean, it's up there.
Why are you asking that, Coach? Have you not seen Wedding Crashers? Come on now.
Well, because of the gif you ripped off, and it piqued my interest.
I know it's a positive. It's an exciting gif. It's such a good movie. I hope they don't ruin it by making another one. So, talking about doing right
really?
Now. So, just leave it alone. Don't touch it, please.
Yeah, I think that's a classic. It's in a pretty high category for all the fellas around here. But anyway, we can definitely move on to bigger and better things.
Let's do it. Jam or not a jam? You ready to hear some tunes, Coach?
Definitely.
All right, here we go. What do you got, Alex? All right. Here in my car, a little. Is that Tommy Two-Tone or is
Gary
that
Newman?
Gary Newman. Okay.
Gary Newman.
What do you think, Coach?
Yeah, it's very versatile. I don't think I'm rocking out to it, but it's a positive in so many ways. So I'm gonna say jam.
It's one of those this is not good walk-up music, right? You crank that one, the whole dugout's looking at the guy like, really? Like, what are you doing? It's a jam. It's – you know what? I'm going to say it's not a jam. It's a good song, but it's not a jam, if that makes any sense. Bear?
I'm going to say you've got a as always, Russell, you're way off base. That is a jam. One of the first songs I saw on MTV back in the day when I was but a wee lad. Certified jam.
Trey.
Yeah, not a jam. I can't bump to that. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. A hung jury.
I can't bump to that, Ruffle.
All right, Alex, number two.
This reminds me of Panama City and Club La Vida.
Now, this is good walk-up music, Coach.
It is, and it's also a St. Louis rep, hometown. So I'm definitely jamming that today and jammed it back in the day. I was working at the Lake of the Ozarks when that came out, just like the infamous show.
Wow. How about that? Yeah, I got to agree. It's a jam.
I have more questions now.
For another time.
Bear?
We'll give it a jam. Nelly's pretty good stuff.
Trey?
Yeah, that's a fun song. Yep.
Unanimous. Nelly, that is a jam. Alex. Wow, That was a contrast of songs.
What a switch.
Oh, I love this one, though. A little Neil Young. Yeah. What do you think, Coach?
That's a classic and a definite jam for me, and a great appearance in the movie Due Date by that song.
Due Date. Have you been on
Thank you.
Have you been on some sort of rom-com just marathon?
No, I've not watched the movie in a while, but I watched Due Date. Due Date's one of those where if I'm at home pouting about a loss or a bad practice or a recruiting thing, I'm laughing at that nonstop, regardless of my mood.
Neil Young, I celebrate his entire catalog. That's a jam, Bear.
Not a jam. A Southern man don't need him around anyhow,
Russell. Oh, wow.
Get him out of here. Oh, get it out of here.
That's an outrage.
Sorry, that's a jam, and the movie is a 10. You can't get better than Zach Galifianakis and Robert Downey. That was a classic movie.
Thank you.
Trey saves it. Old man, Neil Young, a jam. Alex.
Baby.
I feel like we've done this from before.
I can picture Tony Vitello driving to his gig at Lake of the Ozarks with a little Matchbox 20 blaring.
That was a little prior.
Don't lock, freshman.
That was freshman year dorm. Definitely singing that up and down the hall, shower, in the room, whatever. So jam for me still.
You know what? I don't like Matchbox 20. There's just something about it. It's just not my bag, but I'm not going to sit here and act like that's not a jam. It's a jam, right, Bear?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's good, clean fun right there. I don't know why you don't like him. Had decent career. Like good pop, good guitar rock pop song. Jam.
Absolutely a jam. Saw him at a Pensacola high school gym. Awesome.
That is a Trey Wallace jam if there ever was one. Matchbox 20.
Yeah. Combing his hair, putting it in his back pocket, going into the Pensacola high school gym, which we knew that was where you'd seen him, Trey.
Dad, can I borrow the pickup tonight? Matchbox 20 is playing at the local gym.
If you remember, I was there as well.
Thank you. Yeah. See, we have good taste. I'm not worried about these dullards.
Have we played that for you before, Coach?
It was a different Matchbox 20 song.
Oh,
I think we played him Long Day.
Okay.
Yeah. Long Day.
All right, one more, Alex. It was a clear black night.
On the streets. Whoa. Trying to consume some skirts for the
eve. So oh, my. Some phones rolling in my ride. Chilling all alone. Just hit the east side of the LBC. Oh, yes. Mr. Warren G. Pour one out, Nate Dogg.
Indeed.
What do you think, Coach?
Too early for him. Oh, no doubt. Florissant, Missouri, all day, every day on the streets with that one. That was a big jam and still is. That's timeless.
Regulate. That is a jam. Lots of jams. Good selections today, Alex. Bear?
Jam. I mean, that was kind of a... That's
a slam dunk, right? Who's going to step up?
State Dogg and Warren G.
Yeah, who's going to step up and say, oh, no, it's not a jam? Everybody likes that tune.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought about it, but I just couldn't pull it off.
Well, I could pop a top on that one, chill back and relax. That's a good song.
We should get that one as a bumper.
Very good. Hey, Coach, always appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the time this afternoon. We will let you get back to preparing for the season. Tennessee baseball just around the corner.
Yes, indeed. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for the time and all the support.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, Coach.
Tony Vitello making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me hotline this afternoon.
Love that, man.
Yeah, man. I hope we got to keep him happy, man. I hope this baseball season goes off. Like, I have a feeling, you know, he basically said, look, there's going to be all kinds of chaos in the season. It's probably going to be a lot like basketball is turning out. But
a lot of midweek games canceled, I have a feeling.
We'll have a good team, good program, and it's exciting stuff about the stadium too. So hopefully we get this COVID nonsense behind us this year, and then
I feel like out of all the sports, baseball would be at a lower risk simply because other than when, you know, you're up to bat.
Outdoor, changing the ball a lot.
kind of a socially distant sport.
Yeah.
Everybody's spread out.
But, I mean, it's college. So, I mean, these kids are going to be going to class and going to do things college kids
highly
do.
Highly infectious anyhow.
So, all right, we'll take a quick break right here. We'll be back to wrap things up. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, wrapping up The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Final segment this afternoon brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, home of Same Game Parlay Bets. Bear?
Listen up, football fans. I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called a Same Game Parlay Bet, and they're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. A Same Game Parlay Bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the divisional round this weekend. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you place a Same Game Parlay Bet risk-free. All FanDuel customers can get up to $10 back on your bet if you don't win. The playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. It's just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel. If you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Use my promo code DRIVE1 at sign up. That's promo code DRIVE1 at sign up. If you are a current customer, then you are all set. Go check out Same Game Parlays, only available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee to participate. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. These parlays are where it's at, Russ.
That is where it's at, man.
Makes the whole thing exciting. It's just not... Yeah, I mean, it's fun to place a bet on a game.
Okay, you need come up with a parlay. I want Bears parlay. We're going to go to Bear the Bookie tomorrow on the show. I want your NFL playoff parlay for FanDuel.
I will give you one.
All right. Let's get one more phone call in here. John, we got about a minute. Go ahead, John.
All right, gentlemen. So there's a rumor going around right now, and I saw it on VolQuest. Had to bring it to you guys. I'm kind of nervous about it. I do think it could lead to us having some success, though, with getting Brewitt out of here. I just need some clarification. I don't know if you guys have heard it or not. Is there really, in fact, some rumor out there that Brewitt was involved in a Devil's Three-Way?
Devil's Three-Way.
I'm being dead serious, by the way.
No, you're not.
I don't even know what that is.
Thank you, John. Trey, I want you to call your sources. Associated. Yes.
Can you tell me what a Devil's Three-Way is?
Just look it up.
The Devil's Three-Way.
Catholic school. I don't know about all this weird stuff.
I think you do, actually. I think that actually makes it more likely that you'll...
Devil's Three-Way. How do you spell that?
Really?
E-V.
Go ahead. Hurry, Bear. You find
I'm
it?
I'm hurrying.
D-E-V-I-L-S.
Trying to act like you don't
know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trey.
Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Alex Olive. Good night, everyone. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the Books. Fan Run Radio. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on The Drive.